This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome to the Miami Dolphins Fifth Quarter Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. Miami Dolphins football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network is sponsored by
Ticketmaster, official marketplace of the NFL. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood, South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination. Rubenstein Law, 1-800-FL-LEGAL. Chevron with Techron, Chevron, together ahead. Totino's Pizza Rolls, take home gating to the next level. It's Totino's or game over.
You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
What is up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. It's a victory edition of the postgame show.
A what?
Miami Dolphins, a victory edition.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Of the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show. The Miami Dolphins Podcast Network, as you can hear, is all here. Seth Levitt and a very well-dressed OJ McDuffie to my left here from the fish tank. Seth, you're dressed pretty well, too. I am Travis Winfield.
Not like this guy.
The host of the Drive Time podcast, Juice, Seth, a win. OJ, I want to go to you here first, as we do every single Sunday here on the postgame show. What does that locker room look like right now? Seven-game winning or losing streak, rather, snapped. We saw some jubilation from the guys there at the end on that fumble that kind of looked like it put the final nail in the coffin. What does it mean for those guys in that locker room right now?
Man, it means a lot, man. You know, these guys actually, no, they feel the heat. You know, we feel it all the time as what we do for the Dolphin organization. But as players, man, there's nothing like feeling that. And I honestly, I don't know what a seven-game losing streak feels like.
That's what he told me before.
I'll keep it 100.
You do, just not from their perspective.
Yeah, not from their perspective, man.
I got it.
But for those guys, man, you know, they read the press clippings. You know, they read all the social media. They see all the stuff that's going on, you know. So they know what's going on and what's being said about them and the organization, what's going on, what's being said inside that locker room. But nobody's been inside that locker room but them, you know. So, honestly, not a pretty game. Seth hit me. We were chatting during the game. Ugly game. But I don't care how you know, just find a way to win, right, Big Seth? I mean, no matter what, find a way to win.
Because
there's one team that's going to go get on a plane and not feel good about themselves. There's another team that's got their second win this season, which is us, and they're going to be okay about it. They're going to be able to go grocery shopping this week, Seth.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to –
Publix is open.
Yeah. They're going to be able to show up at Publix now. You know what I mean? It's going to be great for these guys, man. And little victories, man. Honestly, 1-0 this week. We're 1-0 again, Big Seth. You know, and that's all that matters right now, Travis. And I'm just happy for those guys, man, because, of course, you know, they've been hearing the – you know, all the chatter, and most of the chatter has been about not necessarily them, but just the whole organization as a whole. You know, so let's quiet for a little bit. And we got a Thursday game. I wish we had a Sunday game. You know, so we get a few
soak
more
it
days.
Up a little
get
bit
a few more days.
Yeah.
But now that we've, you know, gotten off the snide against the Houston
Texans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got
it. We got off, you know, Houston Texans, no matter what, on us, we're going to get at Baltimore as well. Seth wants to move on to Baltimore, but he's going to let us give us at least 1 hour right now talking about the Texans, right?
At least 1 hour.
We'll go 2 hours. Yeah, we'll go 2 hours today. We haven't had an opportunity to do this too often, Juice.
So we talked – Juice alluded to the kind of ugliness of the football game. They're the most turnovers in a game in the NFL since 2016, which actually happens to be a Ryan Fitzpatrick game for the New York Jets against the Kansas City Chiefs, in which he threw five picks in that game. Like Danny used to say, right, what's the difference between three and five picks? It's all the same after that much. But, Seth, so five turnovers for the Dolphins offense, four sacks, 262 yards of offense. They were 9-for-16 on third downs, two penalties for 13 yards. But I want to turn this around because that's the offensive stats, and you won the football game because your defense showed up to play today.
Well, the defense sure did show up to play. Look, let's not kid ourselves. You're not supposed to win a football game when you turn the ball over five times.
Right.
But this just so happened to be the day that you showed up and the other team was 1-7 as well. So, you know, there was some bad football. There was a lot of bad football, but there also were some things that I can't wait to talk about today that were exciting to watch. And we talked about this before. I think it was either last week or was it the lunch bunch? It's like, you know, what are you cheering for?
Yeah.
And I love every Sunday or every opportunity there is to turn on or to show up to a Miami Dolphins football game, regardless of the record. And this is one of those days where we get to feel good about ourselves. And as you said, Juice, everybody in that locker room, everybody in that coaching staff, everybody who works for the organization, whether it's in the personnel department, whether you're supposed to fix the TV here or whatever it might be,
right,
you feel a little bit better about yourselves today. And that's what winning does for you. And it was so needed. If nothing else, they get to breathe.
Yep.
Just a chance to take a deep breath, man. And I think these guys deserve it. You hear Coach Flores talk about it every week. These guys work hard. They practice hard. He believes they're doing it the right way. Today it paid off.
And you saw the execution of from that defensive side of the ball. And also some offensive drives they sustained. And if it wasn't for the mistakes, I think we could have seen a significant blowout game today. I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah, but that's the story of the season,
right? All season long.
Yeah.
And we got a couple of segments we're going to get to today that we haven't done since week one, like game balls, for instance. So
I can't wait.
Stay tuned.
Tease
that
a little bit, Travis. Let's soak that one up, too.
There's some good options on this team today, Juice, because I was looking at the way this defense played and kind of got back to that pressure look we talked about last week a little bit, where they brought more guys on blitzes. The defensive backs were all over the place.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
just a quick teaser, game balls, I'm going to be in that secondary for my game ball because I thought a couple guys played really good games back there. But Juice, what'd you see out of this defense today, man? Because we listed off our stats offensively. I'll pull up theirs for you here in just 1 second. What'd you see that Dolphins defense?
Well, you know, what I saw was what's interesting. Remember the comment last week, I think, Xavier Howard made about we're finally back to doing some of the things that we'd done before. You know what I mean? I saw us today doing some of the things we did before, bringing pressure from the secondary.
Love that.
Bringing more guys than they can block, putting heat on guys, trusting that, you know, number 24 and number 25 on the outside can cover these guys, you know, and that's what was good. I also saw, with that being said, you know, Javon Holland's becoming that guy
as a young guy, really, that's
able to handle that situation. And that's what you have to – when you start sending pressure, you got to make sure your guy in the middle of the field, your deep safety, you know, your center fielder is able to handle it. And he's been doing it very well. So I love the fact that Ogba was able to get home. And when they weren't getting home, they were batting balls down, you know, things that you teach, but you don't see it happen a lot of times. Tyrod Taylor's been a nemesis to us
no matter where he's been.
Every time he lines up against Dolphins, he's kicked our butt, seems like, every time. You know, for them to have him contained and be able to go out there and put the pressure on him and get there. We got there today, man. Even with pressure before, we didn't get there. Today, with pressure, we got there. So the defense, man, hats off to those guys. They went out there and played well. Forced four turnovers, I believe. That last fumble at the end, I think, gave them the fourth one. And but, man, that was fun to watch. Conversely, our turnovers, you know, didn't kill us. We're only minus one in the turnover battle, which is the difference of the whole thing.
And what did we, you know, what did the Dolphins yield with those turnovers? 6 points?
Right.
Yeah.
The defense
sudden change
was amazing today. They did a great job.
Five turnovers and you only give up, I think it was 6 points. I'll have to go back and run those numbers, but that is impressive.
Yeah.
It was the plus 33-yard line, the plus 23-yard line, both resulted in field goals. One of those, a 1-yard drive, four plays, 1 yard, 3 points, kind of how it goes sometimes. numbers. Juice, you mentioned Tyrod Taylor, 24 for 43. That's 55%, pretty low in today's NFL. 240 passing yards, no touchdowns, three interceptions, five sacks, 42.8 passer rating. So the Dolphins got after him big time. In total, 272 yards allowed, the four takeaways, the five sacks, 6 for 17 on third down. The recipe was kind of what it was a year ago, like you mentioned. And quickly to that point, Juice, I want to talk to you about this because I saw a lot in this game. I think we're seeing it more and more each week. You talked about Javon Holland, rookie safety. He's played, this was his eighth NFL game today, correct? Or ninth NFL game.
Right.
Brandon Jones, 1 year, nine games in. I'm seeing these two guys operate as, you know, agents of chaos that don't play the same position.
Agents of chaos.
You like that, Seth?
That sounds like a really cool poster.
It sounds like a terrible punk band or something. These guys can rotate and play each other's role. It's interchangeable. So as a receiver, when you have these safeties that can, I'm going to go down in the box. Next play, I'm going to the deep post, and we're going to cap this guy, and we're going to blitz you, and I'm going to rotate. What does that do for a receiver, or I guess maybe for a quarterback, but just the offense in general, when you have two safeties that can do it all?
I think that's how you go out and get your safeties. You have to have safeties that can play center field or ones that can come down the box no matter what. Because you know how it works, Travis and Seth. When, you know, when teams run motion, they're determining whether you're going to be in man-to-man or if you're going to be in zone. But if you can do that and you can bring your safeties, just swap. All right, I got free. You go to strong, and then I can still bring pressure from there. It's a huge thing, man. And, you know, and the whole key to the whole scheme right there is guys being smart about what they're supposed to be doing. Because now if you start doing that and trying to get too cute and we start messing it up, then teams will take advantage of that. But the fact that these guys are on the same page and they can interchange at that position, which is great, because we saw them both come off the edge. We saw Nick Needham come off the edge, but everybody's able to cover up. There are a few times now, it's B100, where guys are still running free, but the pressure calls for errant passes. You know what I mean? That's one thing that we still have to tighten up. Even though we got there sometimes and called some errant passes, some guys were still running free and they couldn't connect. But at the same time, man, it was fun to see that. It's fun to see guys finally get home from different positions. It's finally good to see Agba finally getting those one-on-ones, you know, and able to make the opportunity, the best of his opportunities as well. And, man, the defense, man. And listen, you know, to be transparent here, that was my fantasy football defense too.
Let's go.
It's my Dolphins today. I knew it was going to be a big day, and boy, did they show
up. Yeah, that was a great call. I just feel for anybody who started Tyrod Taylor on their fantasy team.
I don't know if there's many people that did that.
Well,
if Aaron Rodgers was your quarterback, maybe you did. Maybe. You know, Juice came up here and told me, why don't you put Jordan Love in, Travis? I'm like, that's a great idea. That's what I should have done.
We're going to save that for maybe the second hour because I have major issues with that. But right now, I'm feeling good
Juice,
about it.
Juice, where were you 3.5 hours ago, bro? You could have helped my lineup and helped me win this game this week. I could have used that advice.
My wife does my fantasy football team, so yeah.
So you mentioned the interchangeability of the safeties and what it does to confuse a quarterback or a receiver. That's what happened on Javon Holland's pick. They had both those guys were lined up over the slot receiver, and that usually indicates if you're going to cap a cornerback that he's going to blitz, right? Because you have to fill that spot. And so Jones blitzes, and then Holland gets out and rotates back to the deep post, goes all the way to the other side of the field. Boom, Jones makes the hit on Taylor. Holland winds up with the pick on the other side of the football. I thought that was awesome to see.
And the athleticism on both of those guys.
Perfect center field play right there. He went a long way to get to that one. And he had the tippy toe to keep it in bounds right there, you know. So he went a long way to get that one for sure.
That's all he did at the University of Oregon. And it paired up well with the pass rush, right, Seth? And I kind of asked you at some point in the game, we got a quick minute to get it before we get out here, but I want to go back and talk about this on the other side, actually. The Emmanuel Ogbah-Jalen Phillips combination today, where I asked you what Jason Taylor was saying, and you're like, oh, yeah, let me put the radio buds in my ear.
My headphones in.
I wanted to hear his breakdown because there was a play where Jalen Phillips, I thought, showed you exactly what he's capable of doing. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the quarterback situation with what happened in the game today. We'll hear from Coach Flores. Before we do that, we're not going to speculate until we hear from Coach on that. Game balls, guys, and the drive of the game. All of that and a whole lot more coming up on this edition of the post-game show. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 17, Texans 9. You're listening to the fifth quarter post-game show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. In season or off season, you and your car make a great team. Take care of it with Chevron with Techron for unbeatable cleaning and mileage. It's a winning play. Chevron, together ahead. And guys, I want to come back to this graphic I saw in the game. Before we get back to the Ogbah and Phillips discussion, because I thought they were fantastic in this game again, and I do want to hear if JT had any comments on the play of those two guys. But real quick, Seth, there was a graphic that was flashed on the screen during the game on the broadcast. We were in the press box. We kind of watched the game and peek up at the television every once in a while, the working television there in the press box. And they flashed a graphic that coming into this game today, Miami led football games this year 32% of the time, trailed 41%, and were tied for 27%, and they took the lead in this game with 6:41 to play in the first quarter and never gave it back. So that percentage had to have increased big time today.
Sure.
What does that tell you? I'm trying to figure out what that means, because we talked about this. The statistics are not great. They're towards the bottom of the league in a lot of key statistics, but this has to mean something to me, and I can't figure out what it is. Can you help me with that at all?
Great. Yeah, sure. I got all the answers here. Well, look, you know what? We heard Coach Flores a few weeks ago in his post-game press conference talk about how the margins of error are so small and how there's just two or three plays or four or five plays per game that make the difference in most football games, and how the Dolphins have just been on the wrong side of that too many times. And I think that's what he's talking about. You know, there were a handful – well, not even a handful, right? We can point to three blowouts this season where you can't say, well – we could have or should have won that one. But every other game, you know, the Dolphins weren't just competitive in those games, guys. How many games were lost with literally last-second field goals to hit zero on the clock? Yeah. How many games did we see that this year? How many games did we say, these are games that we absolutely should have won? Not before the game, just looking at the records, but games that in watching the way it was played, they should have won, but there were too many missed opportunities, or the ball didn't bounce in your favor towards the end, and you left yourself kind of exposed there. So I think that's what that graphic is supporting, Travis, is that the Dolphins do get ahead in these games, right? They do keep these games competitive, Juice, but they're just kept finding ways to lose.
Yeah.
And today that never happened. And I know, you know, we got the Twitter tough guys talking about, well, you're playing a 1-7 team. That's what you're saying. Yeah, go ahead and celebrate. Well, hell, if you're going to be upset and want to fire the entire franchise because they lost to Jacksonville, well, then you should be able to celebrate beating the team you're supposed to beat in theory. Okay, and so two teams showed up 1-7. But as you said, Juice, one's going home 1-8. And it's not the Dolphins.
Right. Is this the NFL, Big Seth? Look, I mean, look, Jacksonville just beat Buffalo.
They get paid
too.
Well, that's true.
In the part, probably the league, not just the AFC. So what happens? You talk about the close losses we've had. Yeah, Buffalo beat us down a little bit. You know, we had a terrible game against Tampa Bay. Buffalo beat us again. But the other games you're talking about, we're field goals away from winning these games.
Yeah.
But the difference now is our defense actually stepped up at the end and made some plays. Offense, let's keep it 100 real quick, didn't do anything in the second half for the most
part. That's
it was all about defense.
It was a little sloppy today. I think we could say that.
Yeah, you love that. Ooh, he was waiting on that. I didn't know if it was going to come, when it was going to come. But, yeah,
he was early. He was waiting for that when they announced the starting quarterback back at 11:30 this morning, whatever time it was.
But at the same time, though, man, we talked about this over and over and over again, that our bread is buttered with the defense, and our defense did what they were supposed to do today. Give us the ball
absolutely
back, short fields, get in there and get stops on sudden changes when we did turn it over. That's what this team was built like. You know what I mean?
So
that was perfect.
And you know what, Juice? If the defense is going to hold them to 9, all the offense had to do was score 10, but they scored 17. So
correct.
You know what? I'll go ahead and celebrate. I'll go ahead and celebrate.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, overachieve.
Yeah, so I think right now, man, there's nothing – I don't care what anybody says, man. And let's just keep it like we always hear all throughout the week. You, me, and Travis, we go back and forth in terms of reading what people are saying on Twitter. Like, we really give a damn, but we really laugh at most of the people that sit there and talk the trash about our team no matter what. And then the people that want to talk trash after a win, like I just told this dude on Twitter, you can kick rocks. Honestly.
With no shoes on?
With no shoes on. And use my bad foot back in, you know, 2000.
Oh, man.
It's really going to hurt. You know what I mean? I just don't get it. You call yourself a Dolphin, you know, no matter what, win, lose, or draw, this really is any given Sunday. Celebrate your team. And we're going to celebrate our victory, even though we've only got two wins this year. Today's the day to celebrate. I don't care.
Yeah, 100%. You enjoy the wins when you get them. The Dolphins fan club nation that was out at Bo Campers on Saturday night, they got to come here and see a victory. That's all I care about. Those fans are going crazy. They were clapping. They were juiced up. The fans were going crazy all game long, and that's what this Dolphins fan base does when you get a chance to be around them in person, not online. So let's go ahead and transition here real quick. And, you know, just real quick to close this segment out, we're going to punt again on the Phillips and Ogbaugh thing.
Yeah, did you ever get back to
we
that?
We didn't because all we're getting close on the end of the segment. But I want to do something that you guys are both going to scoff at, and I love doing that to make the show fun.
Boy.
Right?
I smell some analytics.
Nope, it's not. It's not. So you're talking about the perception of the team. We have a game in 4 days, right? I'm not going to pull a Seth and punt the post-game show and talk about Baltimore. But I will say that that's a team that if you beat all of
the right
a sudden,
move on that day.
There's a little bit of conversation about, hey, the Dolphins have kind of turned the corner here and are playing better football. Because Baltimore, you want to talk about a thorn in your side, Buffalo or Houston from the past however many years. Baltimore's a team that this Dolphins club has had a hard time with. And so what I'm trying to get to, you guys, is if you find a way to beat Baltimore –
don't do it, Travis. Don't go past that game. Don't do it.
One practice at a time, Seth.
That's it.
One walkthrough at a time.
Alignment
one meeting
assignment.
At a time.
Don't do it, Travis.
One game at a time. But the remaining schedule after that?
Don't do it.
Jets two times. Giants.
Travis,
Panthers,
don't do it.
Saints
Jacksonville just beat Buffalo 9-6 for crying out loud. Don't do it.
Titans without Derrick Henry.
Enjoy
Patriots,
this
Patriots, team
don't
you already
do
beat.
It, man.
I'm just saying.
You had five turnovers
you can,
today.
You
don't
can,
do it.
You can change the perception that you have going into the offseason. Whether you make a postseason push or not, I'm not even calling for that. But you can change the perception of this football team with you just continue to build on the things you did well, get better at things you didn't do, and find a way to win those games, Seth, that you talked about, those close margin losses. You find a way to
find
win those games.
Find a way to win Thursday.
In those second half of the season performances, you can – because the narrative has been difficult the last couple of weeks. You can start to reshape that, and it started today with a win. That's why I'm happy we got a win today, Juice.
Yeah, I am definitely.
It's a runaway freight train.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
You can't stop me.
He's been waiting, Big Seth. He's been waiting, Big Seth. You know what I mean? Because, you know, we try, and Travis is the best at finding positivity, you know, for the last 2 months.
Yeah.
It's been 2 months, right? And now he's got a reason to gloat about it and look forward to the upcoming schedule. Because can we do anything about the last – 7 losses or whatever?
Can't go backwards.
Can't go backwards, right? So we're looking forward now. But not to next game. We're looking forward to talking about what's going on right here, you know, after this game right here. So I'm excited about it too, man. And think about it. You know, we'll get a chance right now to see how good we are against Baltimore. If we can beat Baltimore on Thursday in a short week at home, you know, there's going to be a nice Baltimore-Miami-friendly crowd. That's a great situation. But right now, these guys are talking about what they just did right there, and there's a lot to clean up, obviously. But what they have to clean up can help them be a better team against Baltimore coming up on Thursday. And Baltimore, you know, they squeaked out a win today, right?
Did against they get an OT?
Minnesota,
they went
I think,
to OT.
By 3, I think they beat Minnesota. But they're now they've got to come and they got to get ready for a short short week, get on the road to Miami.
Because I feel like the last few times we've played them on a Thursday night, we've had to go to Baltimore.
Yeah, yes. I think we have.
And that is not a lot of fun.
That was the Kiko Alonso-Joe Flacco game, if you remember that.
Oh, Kiko Alonso.
Yeah. And actually, you know what? What actually gets me even more excited about this game and thinking about this is you have two pretty solid back-to-back defensive performances. I know the Buffalo game got away from you late, but there was a good game plan there that put a good offense kind of on hold for 2.5 quarters. You come out and do what you did today. If you can find a way to do it against Lamar Jackson, who's somewhat of a litmus test for you. Seth, that's why I started Tyrod Taylor, because this defense has struggled against running quarterbacks. The last 2 weeks, Allen got one big run.
Wait a minute.
Otherwise,
wait
they didn't
a minute. Do much.
Oh,
wait a minute. See, I have a problem with this, and I thought we were going to save it to the end, Travis. So you started somebody against your Miami Dolphins because he's been effective against your Miami Dolphins?
Hedge your happiness, Seth.
Come on. You cannot.
I'm with you, Big Seth.
Juice, I have a major problem with this. This is why I don't even mess with fantasy football.
Man, oh, man. Man, oh, man. I've never drafted anybody for
And I'm not talking about the kicker. You didn't take the kicker who's playing against your guy.
Travis.
You picked the quarterback.
Of all the people,
and speaking
Travis,
of quarterbacks,
of
when we
people,
come back
Travis
from the break, because I know Biff is going nuts here. We got like a minute. When we come back from the break, we cannot ignore the fact that there was a change at quarterback today for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure we do touch on that.
We will cover that. And just to make you happy here, Will Seth, get to your new Kia. Get your new Kia with Gunther Plus at Gunther Kia or online at GuntherKia.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score here from Hard Rock, Dolphins 17, Dolphins 17, Texans 9. I forgot who we were playing there for a second. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Post Game Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Give your game day menu the perfect kick of spice with Old El Paso. Try recipes the whole team will love, like slow cooker, cheesy chicken enchilada bean dip, air fryer beef taquitos, or carnitas mini taco bowls. Visit OldElPaso.com for these recipes and more game day favorites. Old El Paso Taco together. I like that phrasing there. So speaking of taco, one food-related sack we saw in this game was a sandwiching between Emmanuel Ogba and Jalen Phillips. Do you guys like that segue transition right there? Jalen Phillips, Emmanuel Ogba, as I struggle to get their names out here. I thought I had a fantastic game in this one, Seth. We're finally going to get to the segment here because Ogba has 2.5 sacks on the game, another pass breakup. I'm convinced he would have 3 blocks a night if he played down the street for the Miami Heat. Jalen Phillips gets a sack in the game as well. But there's a play I want to talk about that I was hoping to hear some JT commentary. I guarantee you he loves that play, and we'll talk to him about it later in the week, hopefully. But there was a play, and Juice, I want to get you to weigh in as well on this afterwards. Phillips, there's an option play with Taylor kind of taking on the defensive end, which is Jalen Phillips in the situation, and Phillips wipes out both the quarterback keep option and Tyrod Taylor on the pitch, and he winds up getting out there and flagging that thing down and taking the running back out. So he basically takes out 2 players on an outside sweep play where he has to have a foot race with a running back and Tyrod Taylor. That's pretty special stuff there from your first round draft pick.
Yeah, I thought so, Juice. I mean, look, I like great defensive end play. There's no question about it. And what I loved about that, right, you saw kind of speed to power, physicality, yeah. And then he, as you said, the wheels start rolling,
yeah.
And he makes the play and trips up the running back. And it was like, what else can you ask for the guy to do on that play? But that wasn't the only play. I mean, that definitely was a standout play. He had the half sack there with Ogba. And the interception late in the game. Now, bonehead play by Taylor, you know, Tyrod Taylor. I don't know what a guy who has been in the league this long is thinking when he makes that play. But Phillips comes from the other side of the field, chases him down, has to get around Van Ginkel, who's got completely turned around. So Van Ginkel's just trying to stay on his feet. He has to get around him. It looked like that, you know, you ever see that tag on television where they're diving through the things, going over and chasing guys around? And then he just, again, turns on the jets. Taylor's running for his life, hits his arm, and then you get that little floater to Baker. Does a great job keeping his toes in there. I thought it was really an outstanding day for the rookie, who has caught a lot of heat. Yeah. It's so easy and lazy, I think, when people want to start looking at draft picks that they're being critical of, and they start lumping Phillips and Waddle into there, which I think is ridiculous, because both of those guys, to me, are showing that they're going to be good football players here for a long time.
Yeah, I tell you what you're seeing from Jalen Phillips is you're seeing a guy that's starting to get it. You know, at the beginning, as a young guy, you're thinking way too much. Now I think he knows more, and he's able to react and just play better and play more, play faster. When you're thinking out there as a football player, there's no way you can play at top speed because you're wondering, am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing the right thing? Now he's kind of starting to get it. He's starting to understand what his role is and what his responsibilities are. He can play at top speed, and not to mention how massive of a man he is at that position. So now him and Ogba on the opposite side of each other, Ogba's going to get more opportunities, 2.5 sacks today, a half a sack like you talked about, Seth, with Jalen Phillips. He's going to get more opportunities now because Jalen Phillips is coming around.
Yes. Drawing some attention.
You saw what happened with JT and Trace and Adewale being on the opposite side because
Absolutely.
Of those situations. Those now both of these guys are going to be able to go after guys.
Yep.
And any guy of those two you leave one-on-one, you're going to have the best opportunities to make plays. And we're starting to see that now. If you bring some extra pressure too, and our guys are 24 and 25 in the corners, number 8 in the back. That's what we talked about.
Yeah. Right.
That's what we were excited about at the beginning of the year. That's what's coming with him.
And look what you're talking about. 3 players who are in their first or second year. That's got to make you excited about the future of the way the coverage and the pass rush matches up there. And you know my favorite part about that was on those 2 plays, the Baker pick and the play before that was an Ogba sack. And they aligned Ogba off the edge there. I think it was a 5-tech right off the tackle's outside shoulder. Phillips was inside. Yeah, He was at the 3-tech. And so in the first play, they stunt him. So what that means is Phillips goes out and Ogba crosses over inside, and Phillips took the guard and just completely wiped him out of that gap and gave Ogba a free swinging gate to come down and close the quarterback and get a big sack.
Little E.T. game there, huh? Little E.T.?
You're dang straight, Juice. I almost said a bad word there. You're darn right.
I don't think that's a bad word.
I don't know. I'm keeping it straight.
Keeping it straight. Keeping it borderline. Leave it alone.
Keeping it G-rated here on the post-game show.
For now.
The very next play, He does the exact same thing, only this time, rather than stunting outside, he twists inside and runs over the center, Juice. Yeah. We're talking about a 310-pound center that he bowls over, and then go back to the speed I talked about on the option play. He flags down Tyrod Taylor, wins a foot race against him, forces that weird throw that you talked about. I don't know, guys. I'm sitting here watching the ability that he has, and I think that once he starts to put it all together and kind of become a seasoned veteran in a year or two, watch out, man.
Yeah, I'm not saying – I don't want to go out there. I'm not going out of limb, but you're seeing some flashes, you know. When you can put a whole game – I know a guy that Seth Levin knows very well that did this for four quarters every game, you know, I mean, named Jason Taylor. But when you see some of those flashes, like that speed, that power, running through guys. One thing about JT that people, you know, underestimate was his power. JT played with leverage. He played with strength. He played with speed. He played with smarts, you know. And that's how he was so good. You got a tackle or whoever set up for the speed rush. The next thing you know, he's going to bull rush him. You know, he got him set up for the bull rush. Next thing you know, he goes around where he spins back inside. When you got a guy this young that can start making some of those things come around and come together, you know, that's what you're looking forward to in the future of a guy. But it's going to take a lot more of those plays down the road, you know, to show that he's that type of player. But we see it, and that's all you can look for right now is seeing the potential in a guy like that, that can, in the future, with the speed, power, being able to play inside, outside, run guys down, never stops playing.
Right.
This kid, his motor never stops, and that's what you look for as well.
I agree. That smells like a game ball candidate, guys.
It's getting that way.
And candidate.
You talk about Jalen Phillips being a first-year player. That was kind of the story of the game for the Dolphins. First and second-year players really producing big time. So Phillips has the sack, also a big-time play there on an interception that kind of contributes to it. Jalen Waddle, 8 catches for 83 yards on the game. Javon Holland gets his first career pick. Brandon Jones was in on the pressure on that play. So again, guys, these young ones, they're the ones kind of creating the fire here and starting things up for this defense and getting things going. It's great to see, and it gives you some excitement here heading into the second half of the season. We're going to talk about the Tua Tagovailoa situation not playing this game today, as well as hear from Brian Flores coming up next. But for now, get your new Kia with Gunther Plus at Gunther Kia or online at GuntherKia.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 17, Texans 9. There's some music. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show here on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. The Dolphins are back in action, and this season you can be back in the stands to experience it all live. Get verified tickets from Ticketmaster, the official marketplace of the NFL, and you won't miss a single epic moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered, because selling your seats securely with Ticketmaster is as easy as a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. Let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds so our stations can identify themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS, WKIS HD1, and WKIS HD2 Boca Raton. Home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Again, the Dolphins win 17-9. It feels good to say this. Let's go to a victorious Brian Flores at the podium right now.
It's good to get a win. Always good to get a win. It's good to get a win.
Obviously he was limited throughout the week, and yeah. You know, he was active, but a backup. Can you kind of walk us through what happened? Active but backup?
So. Yeah, so he got hurt or banged it last week, finished the game in Buffalo. I was limited all week. Look, he's tough. He tried to go. It really just became a more of a how far could he throw, would he be able to kind of make all the throws we need him to make. But we thought it was enough to put him in a backup role. We felt like that was the best thing for the team. So we would have to change some things offensively if he had to go in. But Jacoby was able to finish the game.
Was there any thoughts of doing a practice squad elevation
into the you know, we just felt like, you know, Tua at, you know, the where he was at was you know, better than, you know, making the elevation. You know, he's close, I would say. But it really was just more of a how far can we make, it's, you know, the throws we need to make, all of the throws we need to make.
What was the final decision made that, you know, Jacoby would start instead of Tua, and do you think he has a shot for Thursday?
Well, for Thursday, I mean, look, it's still day-to-day. We just got to see how he's doing. It's a quick turnaround, so tomorrow, Tuesday, you know, and in the ensuing days. I mean, we knew he was limited. He was trying to go. We were, you know, basically testing it every day to include today, and we just felt like couldn't do it.
Thank you.
or couldn't do it and make all the throws that we needed to make. But he's close.
Did you come into the game today, with the idea that it was going to be Jacoby, or was it, was it really up in the air?
Yeah, like I said, it was really every day. It was, all right, let's test it. It was a little bit better. And we just felt like we were better off, going the route of going with Jacoby.
What does the win do for this group's confidence, especially on
Jacoby? Winning's always good. That's why these guys prepare. They work hard. They give great effort. So it's always good to win. It's hard to win in this league. Small margin for error, as we've talked about. Obviously, definitely some things that we need to do a better job of. But it's good to win.
Coach, what'd you learn about the guys in the locker room throughout the drought that allows you to coach them better?
I mean, it's a resilient group. They've stuck together, which I think that's a testament to the types of guys we have in that locker room, the unity that's in the locker room. So I think that's important on a team.
Coach, have you ever won a game where you've turned it over 5 times?
You never want to turn it over. One is one too many. So 5 is, we're not going to win very many games doing that. I bet if statistically you look at it, I bet it's low. You may have it. Very low, but you don't win in this league turning it over. That's the number one stat. We got to do a better job of protecting it. Thankfully, we got it off of them. Kind of evened it out to a degree, and we've got to do a better job from a ball security standpoint.
What's it like to see the young guys like Javon and Brandon step up and play big in a game that helps deliver a win for you guys?
I mean, it's good. I mean, we got a lot of young, developing players getting playing time, getting a lot of experience, and I think those two guys are, probably two of the hardest working guys we have, and it's nice to see them, have some production, and it's nice to see that.
What were the keys to your defense forcing the turnovers and then also getting those stops in the right zone?
It's always communication, tackling, limiting big plays. We work on getting the ball off, really every day, and we're able to do that. Got some decent pressure on the quarterback. So, and then when you get in the red zone, those plays are, they're so critical, especially at the end of the game. One of those is a touchdown instead of a field goal, and it's a whole different game. So, we work a lot. We work on it a lot. And they executed today, and it helped us.
Brian, I know you're probably going to have to watch the film before you have a full assessment, but just knee-jerk reaction to Jacoby's game today.
Did enough to win. I think there's a lot of things we got to do. We didn't get done offensively. We didn't run it, efficiently. Just without watching it, I think there's a lot of things we got to correct. But like we always say, it's always good to make corrections and after you win the game. But we definitely got to get a lot of things corrected offensively.
Final question.
What do you mention as far as he can throw the ball? How far could he throw it? You're able to kind of tell us that.
I mean, I'm not going to get into that. It wasn't enough that we felt like we could make all the throws he needed to make. I mean, there's a lot that goes into that amount of practice. The type of game that normal games get into. If you get into a whatever situation, we just felt like it wasn't. Look, we're always going to do what's in the best interest of the team, we felt like he just wasn't physically ready.
So there was Brian Flores post game here after the Dolphins 17-9 victory. Seth, we usually go to you. You're our post game press conference consigliere, you've been called on the show here. What do you think? What do you think of Coach's post game demeanor this time?
It's good to get a win, yeah, right? Exactly. I mean, it's exactly what he said, and that's what it is. He knows Coach Flores knows that there's a lot to correct. I think if this were under any other circumstance, he would not be happy about five turnovers. He would not be happy about the running game's performance against one of the worst rushing defenses in the league. He would not be happy about not converting certain plays that should be touchdowns and end up in field goals or turnovers. But he needed a win. Everybody needed a win. And so, I respect the fact that he's going to let – everybody just enjoy the fact that today they go home winners, and tomorrow he'll get back to doing what he always does and start to correct those things. Don't you think, Juice?
Yeah, and I think one of the things he said, and we talked about a little bit earlier in the show, is that the slim margin there is between victory and defeat. You know, and no matter what, just getting a victory, no matter how ugly it is, we're not going to move up in the rankings in football. You know, we're not going to go from number 10 in college football to number 5 with a win today. It doesn't matter on Sunday. Just find a way to get a win. And for a team like us that have lost 7 straight, just getting the win. It cracks me up when I hear people talk, you know, and do these interviews when they know our coaches, man, how he's been reeling for the last 7 weeks, how it's been tough in that locker room for the last 7 weeks, how he's been able to keep the team together these last 7 weeks when everybody else on the outside noise has been the way it has been, man. So, you know, I think he said it, 3 or 4 times. Yeah. It's good to get a win. It's good to get a win.
Yeah.
And even the press started chuckling a little bit about it because, honestly, it's good to get a win. Bottom line. That's what this game's all about. This is a win or lose. This is a win or lose game, professional football. It's not beat them by 30, not cover the spread. It's none of that BS.
Yeah.
It's all about winning or losing. They went out there and they beat a team that they should have beat or they shouldn't have beat. They lost teams they shouldn't have beat. I mean, they should have beat. So they went out there and they won the game, period. And that's all that matters.
You don't think Bills fans would have liked to have driven the field there and scored a late touchdown to beat Jacksonville, have an ugly win, opposed to an ugly loss?
I'm not feeling badly for them, if that's what you're asking. But, yes, I agree with you, Travis.
1,000%, Travis.
So they lose that game. I want to just touch on something here real quick. We got a couple minutes left here. He did mention it's still day-to-day for Tua and the finger. He mentioned he banged it up in the game against Buffalo, and they tried it out all week. He was limited all week in practice and kind of split some of the reps there with Jacoby Brissett, obviously. But one thing I found interesting, Juice, was that they ran an RPO play on the second play of the game, I think it was, and then they didn't come back to it. And that kind of makes me think that he was really – you heard Flores talk about it, that he was close to playing. Makes me think that they thought maybe even up to today that he was going to play.
Yeah, you know, I think so, no matter what. I think, you know, especially something like that, it seemed like it's a day-to-day injury. You know, and when you have day-to-day injuries, it's going to be – you never know up until game time when you wake up. How did I wake up feeling this morning? There's a swelling down. Can I grip the football? You know, especially with index finger, correct? And that's one thing when, as a quarterback, you can't spin it. It doesn't matter. You talk about making the throws. I mean, that's the most important thing. So if you can't make the basic throws, if you can't grip a football, and not only that, you risk getting it banged up again, then what? So what's the point? So feeling comfortable about what they're doing in terms of, you know, having Jacoby in there, what I think they are comfortable. If you're not comfortable, you did a bad job in setting this roster together in the first place. You know, Jacoby's come in, he's done some good things, done some bad things. He had a rough day, was up and down today. But at the same time, though, you know, you got a guy, Tua, that's always – I doubt it was Tua that said he couldn't go today. I doubt it because that's Tua's mentality, man. Tua probably wanted to go. But I think the smarter thing was, you know, to give him a chance to rest a few more days. I could almost promise you'll be ready for Baltimore. But I think we're into a game against the Texans that we can probably win against the Texans.
Wait, you think they made a decision like that, Juice, where they said, well, we could probably beat these guys without him? Do you really think at this stage that they would have said that?
That's how I feel.
Wow.
You know, that's exactly how I feel. I think man for man, you know, person to person, out there on that football field, we're – definitely a better team than Texas.
Well, they were today.
Yep. They were today, and they'll be tomorrow.
And just watching Tua in warmups, he talked about the types of throws. Like he was driving the ball to the perimeter, and then they ran some seam routes where they were just kind of like – he was kind of just throwing it – he was kind of lobbing it up there. And I was like, I don't know if that's indicative of the fact that he couldn't do it or he just was kind of putting that type of throw out there. But I was watching the pregame warm-up very closely, saw that, make of it what you will. But you heard from Brian Flores. I think that's pretty much what the situation is that he mentioned there. So we'll talk about plenty more here, including game balls coming up. We have the drive of the game for you guys as well. Much, much more here to come. Get your new Kia with Gunther Plus at Gunther Kia or online at GuntherKia.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 17, Texans 9. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso and Council Oak, and much, much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. So, Seth, we talked about Tua Tagovailoa in that previous segment there and not playing in this game and the availability for the game on Thursday against the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to throw it to you because you had a question you wanted to put the juice.
Well, yeah, this is what I wanted to ask because, you know, we've seen a billion times, if you've watched any professional football game or football on any level, you see the quarterbacks loosening up their arms. They do that pregame. They do that any time that there's an extended timeout to keep that arm loose. They do that when you start to see, okay, we're expecting a punt here and they want to get ready. And the quarterbacks are usually throwing to each other. The starter always has a receiver standing next to him catching for him so that the starting quarterback doesn't have to catch the rock. And sometimes the backup guy does and sometimes he doesn't. Well, I see that Tua is not playing. And he's got a finger issue, and I see him catching the ball, and then all of a sudden the receiver runs over there. So I'm asking you, is that on the receiver to kind of have your head on the swivel and know when are my quarterbacks going to warm up, and I don't want to let them catch the ball, and I don't want to be the guy responsible for somebody stubbing his finger or something? You know, how does that – who determines what receiver catches for what quarterback?
That's a great question. I know when I got here, and I can always reflect on when I, you know, got to the Dolphins, I know for a fact that Danny always – He never caught the ball from a receiver.
Nor should he.
But he always threw to Clayton for the most part in warm-up. You know, in terms of those, you know, the little short ones at the beginning. Threw to Clayton all the time. Then at the end of those, he stole like 10-yard fastballs. You know, 10-yard like bullets. And so when I got here, Urban Fryer came on. He was the elder statesman. So that was his guy. Where I'd be catching next to Danny, giving it to him, but he's throwing the fastballs to Irv. Throwing on Irv. Then when Irv left, I went to the other side.
And you had to catch
I was catching the fastball and it gets you hot, get you fired up. You know,
so it just kind of happens.
It just kind of happens.
It's a rite of passage.
You kind of just take that role on with the starting quarterback. Now, the fact that Tua didn't have anybody over there, I mean, we had six? How many receivers we have dressed up?
Well, I don't know. We had a lot that weren't. You know, that's a whole other segment. But I got your point.
Where's Charlie and Joey?
There's a bunch of tight ends.
We could have Charlie catch the ball. Charlie's got the best hands on the team.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Tua should have been catching his own balls today. That's the bottom line. But, yeah, it kind of happens, man. You know, as the older you get in terms of, like, that you know, the prestige, you know, that's an honor. When Irv left and Danny said, you got me today, man, that was the best thing that ever happened right there. So now – with Tua being out, we know – and what you can start doing now, Seth, is watching the pregame say, oh, Jacoby's starting today.
Right.
Because you can tell by the quarterback that's catching his own balls.
Right.
Be the backup for sure.
That's what I was wondering.
I thought you were going to say that skipping out on those fastballs from Danny is the reason that all your fingers are still straight because most receivers that played with a Dan Marino probably have some
bent I've dislocated
fingers.
All of them, Travis. I don't know how or where. It might have been blocking it. Who knows where it's been, but I've dislocated all these bad boys, man. They're nasty.
So we saw him a little bit today in the game, Seth, just kind of getting fired up and being that kind of chiller on the sidelines. Like, I guess maybe this is a question more for Juice. When you see your starting quarterback who's down – he's wearing the hat, got the, you know, in the old days you have a clipboard, now it's probably a little bit different. But what does that do for a team to see your quarterback, even though he's down, kind of involved in the game like that?
Well, you know what? Look at history and look at the quarterbacks you saw that were out there sitting on the bench with a Parker with the fan going. Not sitting there, you know, being part of the team. Tua's always, we've never questioned Tua as a team player, as a leader, you know, as one of those guys that just loves to go out there and win and loves his teammates. So, yeah, I knew he'd be that way. I knew he'd be that way, man. And he's wishing any and everybody out there wearing the all-white today, which is by far my favorite.
Your favorite. I know it.
By far my favorite. That man, that looked good today. Boy, that looked good today. But I knew he was going to be the guy that's up there, you know, rooting his teammates on. And for sure. And think about it, too. He's still backup here. He's still got to be involved. You know, no matter what, he's still got to be involved in the game. He can't be sitting back there on the sideline, you know, messing around. And then when Jacoby comes to the sideline, they got to sit down, they got to look at, you know, the tablet and everything and figure out what's going on next. But, yeah, Tua's that guy. He's a hell of a leader. And bottom line, he's a hell of a teammate, and that showed today.
Certainly the kind of guy you want to have in your locker room in any instance. So we're going to talk more about that here coming up. We're going to talk for the first time in 56 days. I just did the math real quick. It's not difficult math. We're going to do game balls.
Math. You counted.
Game balls for the first time
he carried
in 56
the one,
days. Yeah, I mean, it's just a calendar I use, but whatever.
One plus one is two.
Miami Dolphins fans, are you ready for game day? With Cheez-It, you can choose your perfect game day snack made with 100% real cheese for a deliciously cheesy snack experience. So stock up on all your favorite flavors, and we'll see you back here at your favorite game. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, 17-9. Dolphins take this one. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.